All right, today is a Friday, and I am absolutely pumped to share some info with you today. I had a great client meeting yesterday, and often we talk about, I focus a lot on psychology and processes and helping people be more effective at what they're doing. But the conversation turned to, simply being that there's a lot of stuff that we have to try and remember, and sometimes it gets overwhelming so much that we just want to hide under the covers and go, man, I don't even want to face the day. And you know what? That's totally normal. We spent probably an hour and a half just talking about that and about, what it really means to grow our business and to do these things that kind of make us feel uncomfortable. Because it's one thing to say, here's all the stuff that you got to do, but it's another thing to do it and learn about yourself while you're doing it. So that was sort of the purpose of today's post, was a bit on that conversation and how we can actually grow and develop while we as ourselves, while we also build these great processes and systems. I mean, I look at I've got a lot of really cool projects that I've downloaded people's resources. And at the end of the day, if I don't do all of the steps or do all the stuff that they say to do, that's usually because it's something that I'm wrestling with personally. So sometimes we have to take a step back and say, are we doing the things that make the most sense? And so today we started to talk about the concept of observing in others and the opportunities that we're missing. So today is called How Observant Are You? You May Be Missing Opportunities. And I talk a lot about in the world, there's really no scarcity. I think a lot of times we struggle with saying, I need to get this customer. I need to get one more sale, or I need this, I need that. But in the world, if we look at it, there's no scarcity. There's just a mentality of scarcity. And so when we talked about this yesterday with the client I was mentioning, that's what she was struggling with. She was worried about, how she can get more customers, because as she's doing, learning about this personal development, learning about, how to engage with them a little bit differently, changing some of the language, doing the things that are a little bit uncomfortable, she's starting to get more and more worried about how she's presenting herself. And so this becomes sort of an endless spiral. And so it becomes, she starts to be more self-conscious. So we broke down what's actually happening. And the big one, like I said, is that she's feeling overwhelmed. All the work that she's been doing has now bubbled up to the surface that there's a lot of stuff that she's got to learn. So when we work on personal development and we turn our own thoughts and our actions and our behaviors, we turn our mind to those, it gets really overwhelming. And it happens to me. Anytime we start to look at ourselves, it's really easy to point out the flaws of other people, right? But when we look at ourselves and we work on personal growth, it gets terrifying. And often it's really lonely, because that's your personal journey, and you need to have, it's hard to find people that are going on the same journey that you are. And so sometimes I know I felt crazy because I was working on my personal growth and I felt like I was the only one in the world dealing with this same stuff. And that's totally normal. It's okay to be stressed out as you're growing, right? And if it was easy, everyone would do it. Right? They'd be more in touch with their emotions. They'd be more well connected with others. And they would be more in touch with everything that's going around them. And the trick is not to judge all of those thoughts, not to judge what's going on and say, I'm not good enough, or I'm not smart enough, or any of those things. The trick is just to observe what's going on. Take a step back and just watch yourself in these moments and see if you can find some insights. And in order to grow and evolve, you have to be willing to get uncomfortable, and it's going to get lonely, and it's going to be hard before it gets easy. Besides, what are your other options? You want to just stay the same and complain? I see people that are stuck day in, day out, and they tell me, oh, it's just hard. You don't understand how tough it is. And, I'll never get out of this job. Or they complain about their boss. They complain about their situation. Everything that you want to do in your life, you can create. But in order to do it, you're going to have to go and get a little bit uncomfortable. You're going to have to try some things. And so that's a lot about what today is about, is the power of observation just about yourself. Okay. So here's one is, I always say, am I just saying a bunch of stuff? As we were talking, she told me that, when she's in meetings, she's finding herself talking, rambling, just kind of, rattling on. And I know I do the same thing sometimes too. And it's normal, because we want to share information with people. We want to sound smart. We want to make sure that we're saying all the stuff. And in sales, we often get into that pitch mode, right? So the question, how do we break out of that? And the easy answer is just stop. If you find yourself talking too much, too fast, or just getting off track, just stop. Reset, take a breath, assess the room, and just try and figure out where you're at, right? Clarify with the other person, and don't try and push through and just keep going, right? It all starts with just observing yourself. Just find out, wow, hey, you know what? I'm not where I want to be. So for me, I know I often get really pumped up in my meetings and I start going, blah, blah, blah. I get really excited and I keep going. And maybe I find I haven't even breathing for a couple minutes because I'm just so excited. I'm saying the stuff. And so when I want to reset, typically I just kind of stop and I say, okay, does this all make sense? Or am I just saying a bunch of words? And usually that helps people go, okay, let's take a look at this. And I say it in a way like that, in a humorous way, to allow people to sort of just rest, allow the conversation to get that chance to breathe. And you can also maybe ask a question just to clarify. So can you maybe tell me back where you're feeling we're at right now? Or can you give me sort of what the key takeaway is here? And give that conversation a moment to sort of take on a life of its own, rather than pushing through and continuing with your pitch. And I see this happen all the time. People just keep going, even though they know that where they're going is not the right place. And I've done it so many times myself too. The next part, you know, let's talk about conscious versus unconscious thought. This is a big one on the psychology side that I train a lot on. It's, you know, years ago I read a book, Daniel Kahneman in Thinking Fast and Slow, and the concept of our mind has these two systems, and he very intelligently called them System 1 and System 2. And I've written about that. You can find some more links on that. But what I'm saying is when you're in these states of where you're just going through the motions, you're only using that System 1. It's the same thing as if you're like driving down the street and you don't remember how you got there. That is System 1, that unconscious thought. It's free-flowing. It's natural. That's that state of flow that we've talked about. But when you start to observe, perfect example is here, is when we're starting to observe these situations where we're taking in, oh, you know, watching somebody's body language or looking at facial expressions or trying to remember our own personal development, all these things that we're looking at, we start to engage that System 2, that conscious thought. And catching yourself in the moment, talking too much, is essentially engaging that System 2. And the problem with that is that when you start to engage conscious thought, when you're in an unconscious moment, it becomes really terrifying and uncomfortable. But it's a major, major step in your own personal evolution. So when you try and be in the moment and on, like, you know, when you're just totally on in your presentation and conversation, you don't want to be distracted. You need to be in that state of flow. And that's why it's really tough tapping into System 2. Because it gets your mind moving faster and it causes stress, right? But once you start doing that more frequently and you bring that conscious thought into your actions or you're into your normal state of flow, you do that more frequently, you actually end up gaining what I call superpowers, right? The superpowers are now you're actually in System 1 and System 2 at the same time. And the more you practice it, the more that these habits become part of that System 1. And you are able to do unconscious things that are bringing in conscious thought. It's pretty cool. You begin to just be in that moment as well as observe and adapt in the moment. So it allows you to actually see what's going on and gives you the ability to be more authentic and effective. So you can see why it's really tough, but it's totally worth it. If you do the hard work to start to engage more and more of your conscious thought into your unconscious behaviors, you're going to see things. And I think in one of my posts, I talk about in the movie, The Matrix, when he starts to see people as numbers and symbols, that's kind of what it's like because you're very aware of everything that's going on while you're in a really cool state of flow. Okay, so what should you observe? And what talking back to my conversation is that she shared with me that she had learned a sales technique for body language called mirroring. And I'm sure you've heard of it before, and it's where you try and match your body language to somebody else, and you're trying to basically make a subconscious, subtle, imperceptible connection with that other person. But when you use it incorrectly, you end up looking like an idiot. Right? Because the other person knows what you're doing and it totally feels weird. And so mirroring is still a good technique, but you need to know how to use it effectively. But doing it on its own is really stressful. So there's no tricks to any of this stuff. Like when I talk about psychology and behavior, it's not a trick, but understanding what's going on. And so when you start to learn and observe body language, it takes time and effort. Think just if you think for a second, I mean, I have a list here of all the stuff that you can observe in other people. You can look at their facial expressions, you know, how are they moving in their on their face, their posture, are they upright, are they slouched, are they forward, are they backwards, where are their hands, are their eyes moving around, are they looking at you, are they looking at the stuff, are they looking at their watch, the tone of voice, the pace that they're using, the breathing that they have, how well they're paying attention to you. Are they shifting around? Are they using like slight behavioral changes that they don't even notice? What's their level of interest? Where are their feet positioned? Are they perspiring? And so on and so on. There's so many things we can be looking at, right? And in that same time, there's a ton of stuff that you can be looking at yourself. All the same that we just listed. Plus, you start to look at, what's your presence? What's your energy? Are you paying attention? Are you completely aware of what's going on? Are you listening actively or passive? Do you care about what's going on with them? Is your ego getting in the way of things? Are you being vulnerable? Are you being open to ideas? Are you tending to their stories? And so on and so on. And if we just go through this list, we can keep going. But it's no wonder we get overwhelmed. When we start to think about all the stuff we could be watching and observing, we go, holy cow, I can't remember all this stuff. The key, you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to remember all this stuff. What it is slowly over time bringing in that system too, to become part of that system one, so these become natural skills that you do, okay? The easiest way is to start with empathy. To be an effective observer of others, just start by watching yourself. Look at how you respond and how you react in situations. Look at what's going on around you, how you feel, and what's happening in your own brain before you start to figure out what's happening in other people, right? So think about what stresses you out. What excites you? When you get a sales email from somebody, what works and what doesn't for you? I subscribe to a ton of different funnels so that I can feel what it's like to be a customer on the other end and what I like and what I don't like. Right? When you meet someone for the first time, how do you feel? Are you scared? Are you nervous? Are you anticipating things? When are you nervous? Right? What is your body language when you feel pressured from other people? What about when you feel accepted from other people? When your phone rings, why would you answer it and why not? Right? If you're in an argument with somebody and they call you, do you really want to talk to them? Usually not. Right? Now, how do you feel when you spend money? A little bit and a lot? What's that emotion that's tied into it? When you reject someone else's offer, what do you think about? Are you feeling guilty? Do you feel, I don't really like saying no? Right? What holds you back from making decisions? And how overwhelmed do you feel in different moments? Right? You can see that there's an almost unlimited amount of things to observe in our own behavior. So just if you know that this is all the stuff that we can be thinking about, imagine what's going on in other people. Right? Imagine what's happening in their life. And now if you step back and say, man, like, I get all the stuff that I'm dealing with. If everybody's struggling with that, how can I just be more empathetic to that? Right? Most of the time when we are trying to talk to other people, we're trying to get stuff from them. But what we want is we want to help them instead, right? We end up adding more to their plate and causing more stress. So no wonder it's hard to sell because people are just always trying to take, right? And when you start to understand this, you start to see ways that you actually alleviate problems of the people around you. And very quickly, your presence and your energy changes to be one of a helper and a giver, right? And by doing this, you become a hero for your customers. In today's busy world, everybody's got time. The problem is we're just selective with our time. If somebody sends me something that I'm really interested in, I will look at it. If somebody calls me that I want to talk to, I'll talk to them. But I have to make decisions very quickly on whether I'm going to or not going to. And when we call or email people, are you the one that they want to talk to, that they absolutely love talking to? When the phone rings and your name comes up, do they go, yes, I have to talk to this person? Or are you the one that's a nuisance and they go, oh, no, not this again. And I don't want to talk to this person. Right? So when you start from this place of observation and empathy, it's going to quickly show you the missed opportunities every day in front of your face. You got to trust me on that. So what are you looking for? When you go and just watch others, there's a few things you can do that are really, really simple. Tap into that. So in the next few conversations you have, especially if you're doing sales, I want you to look for a couple things. The first one, look for nods. When people are nodding their head, that's a big one for me to know that when I'm talking about something, that I'm on point, that what I'm saying is the concept, they're nodding by going through their mental checklist and they're in agreement to with what I'm saying subconsciously. And so I always look for nods. I always say nods and notes. If people are taking notes and they're nodding, I'm in a really good sweet spot. The next one is watch their eyes. Right? When people narrow their eyes, it means that what you're saying is important to them and they're really trying to understand what's going on. They're not just glaring at you, right? And what you're saying is worth paying attention to. So look for those eyes. When you say something that has importance, they're going to squint a little bit to make sure that what you're saying is correct. Pay attention to their shoulders. This is a big one for me. When I'm saying something, if I say something that makes sense and they feel that it's going to solve their problem, like if we're talking about a solution for something they're going on and we get to this point where I say, and here's what we can do. If what I'm saying alleviates that problem, their shoulders are going to drop a little bit. The tension in their neck and in their shoulders actually releases slightly. And I know that what I said just made sense. Right? And it's that subtle sign of relief. If they don't drop when I get to the punchline or when you get to that punchline, you may have missed something. So that's a perfect time to ask more clarifying questions. And there's more posts I have on storytelling. So when you tell stories, look for these things. Look for the eyes, really focusing on these things. When they nod, it means the challenges you're talking about are bang on. And when you get to the aha moment or the turning point of the story, their shoulders should drop. Right? And then another one is when you start to talk about the future and then the next way forward, you can see their body language start to sort of sink into what you're talking about. It's really fun to see it, but you need to be able to learn how to watch for that in that system too. Now, it's important to watch other people, but more importantly, you can take the lead, right? Rather than trying to spend all this time observing and trying to figure things out, once you get good at this stuff, learn how to present well. Because you've worked on your empathy and because you've learned what you want from others, right? You should be able to, you know, work on all of this stuff and take the lead in your presentation. So there's a few things here. I've got five things you can do. Work on your pacing. The speed of your speaking should match the message. And it should not be all one speed. I know I'm really guilty of this sometimes. And one thing that helps, go watch some TED Talks and just watch for the pacing. Look at the pacing and watch how quickly and slowly people say based on the message they're trying to convey. Find some styles that you like and test it out for yourself. You're going to be surprised at how well pacing works with practice, right? If you want your point to really hit home, say it slowly. Do you want to increase excitement? Say it quickly. Want to drive people crazy? Say everything really, really fast or really, really slow, right? Number two, use your voice to control emotion. Sometimes we get really heated in conversations or things, need to quicken in their pace. What you do is just change the sort of the inflection or the volume or the speed or the, you know, anything that you can do, talk quieter, softer, or really abrupt and forceful, depending on what you're trying to convey. Now, remember, with all of these tips, you can go overboard. You can overuse this stuff. So you got to really practice, right? It's okay to just try this stuff and have fun. You've got to remember you're working with humans, right? Hopefully you're working with humans. And people respond really well to visual cues. They respond well to your voice. Most of the communication we've always heard is all about body language and all that. But if you learn to, if you want other people to listen to you, you have to say it in a way that makes them want to listen, right? Raising your voice, getting really loud about things is usually not the best way to go. But understanding your pacing and the tone of voice is really going to help you out. Next one, I call it smile for a smile. I wrote a post recently on laughing more to connect. And this is probably one of the easiest things and most effective things you can do. But sometimes it's the one we forget the most, right? You got to remember all the stuff that you're going to talk about. You got to pay attention to others. You got to watch body language. You got to do all this stuff that we're talking about. And it's normal for our brows to furrow and us to look serious because we're in that moment of trying to get it all done, right? And I'm probably like super guilty for this. I always have to remind myself to smile. I'll be on stage speaking at an event or doing a workshop, and I'll be talking about really happy, fun things in a happy way, but my face is not happy. Right? As in, if you've ever done that, you know what I'm talking about. So I have to constantly remind myself in my meetings, on my phone calls, even when I'm doing these recordings, to smile, right? I know people are on the other end. They want to connect. They'll smile too. You're going to ease the tension. The next one is a big one. Be totally 100% present. There are no shortages of distractions each day and in every moment. And we know what it feels like when we're talking to somebody and they're not really looking at us. They're kind of looking past us and they're going, yeah, I'm listening. How does that feel? It's awful, right? Being present is probably the best gift you can give anybody else. Your undivided attention and curiosity about them and their problems is like just awesome. And in today's like hyper-connected digital world, we miss opportunities every day to just connect with humans, right? If you're going to speak with somebody, go into it fully. And if you're not prepared to do that, don't go into it at all, right? If you bring the right energy, people are going to want to be around you and they're going to want to do business with you because of who you are and what you represent, not the stuff you say, okay? Number five, set your intentions before you go into anything, right? I can't tell you enough about how powerful setting intentions are, right? We all talk about having a plan. You know, we know if you don't have a plan, you're doomed to fail, right? But that's the same goes with your energy and your attitude before you go into meetings. Don't just have a plan for what you're going to say. Have a plan for who you're going to be. It's a totally different game, right? You get to control how you're perceived by others in every interaction. What energy do you want to give off? What do you want to be remembered for? When you go into a meeting, how do you make others want to feel? Or do you just go in and wing it each time? It's going to increase your success of winning everything you do, okay? Now, the biggest tip, we've gone through a lot of stuff. Now, forget it all. Screw it. Because there's a ton of stuff to think about. The goal here is not to overwhelm you. I want you to step away from all of this and realize that it's all just okay. I was telling somebody yesterday that, you know, my theory is that in the beginning of time, we only had one job, and that was just not die. Get up in the morning and not die, not get killed by some animal, right? And then we had to get some food and survive. We had a family, we had to feed them. Since then, it's got really complicated, right? So if you know all of this stuff, this is just a lot of complicated stuff. Your goal is just to get up, live a good life, not die. Right? There's zero pressure to do any of this. The reason you're reading this is because you're looking for some insight, some help, but it doesn't mean you have to do it. If you do it or you don't, the world's going to keep going, right? It's so easy to get caught up and overwhelmed. And I think most people pride themselves on how overwhelmed and how stressed they are and how busy they are. It's like this weird competition. Screw it, right? Just know everything that you're doing is a choice. Reading this, listening to this is a choice. You can choose to improve and grow and accept all the terrifying and overwhelming things that come along with that, or you can stay comfortable and not grow. It's totally up to you. It doesn't bother me, right? I know for me, like it's awful so many times, and some of the best breakthroughs I've had is the point where I'm just at my breaking point and my wit's end thinking, what have I done with my life? Because it's really uncomfortable. And, you know, over the last year, I've worked a lot on my spirituality. I had a spiritual coach that I worked with to really balance out a lot of the technical, serious stuff that I take. And the biggest realization I've had is that everything should just be fun. My goal is just to have more fun and bring joy to other people's lives. And then there's just a bunch of stuff we got to do along the way, right? It's just, let's find more peace in all the stuff we're doing. And at the end of the day, we should just be enjoying the process. Whatever you're going to go do it fully, right? And it's just enjoy the process. If you choose to start a website and build a business, that's what you want to do, do it. Enjoy all of the technical, long, hard days that you have to do and love it. That's your choice. Remember to love your family and do all the other stuff too, but just live a life, right? Look around every day, talking about observing. Man, there's so much going on out there. Opportunities to connect with people. Technology's everywhere. There's nature. You know, I'm off to go golfing after this. There's just a ton of stuff that we could be looking at. But sometimes we get so wrapped up in this hamster wheel that we forget to just go, man, everything's pretty cool. So what I want you to do is learn more to just in the moment, whatever you're doing each day, engage that system too and go, wow, let me look at somebody. Let me see what's going on. Let me see if I can empathize more. Can I appreciate the surroundings that I'm in, these beautiful buildings, these beautiful people, right? Bring that system too, and that will turn you more into an observant person, which will in turn lead you into long-term success. So that's it for today. I hope that this helped you out. I know we talking about pacing. I kind of rambled a bit here, but this is really powerful stuff. You know, I focus, like I said, on psychology and process, but a lot of it is your mindset. I can tell you all the stuff to do, but it's up to you to battle through the challenges of actually putting it to the test. So if you need help, you know, reach out, send me an email, connect with me. We've got a lot of stuff coming up soon, so stay in touch and make sure you share this with people. Have a great day. I'm off to go golfing.